Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am so glad that you clicked on this video because with what's going on in our world right now, I know you need hope. And you can consider Transformation Church your hope dealer. We are here to really empower you with faith in the midst of all of this fear. And I'm going to tell you something in this message that's more contagious than Corona. And I am so glad that you are a part of this. So let me tell you, we are praying for you. We're believing God for you. We are standing with you. And we're going to get through this the same way that we've gotten through everything else, with prayer and faith. I want you to join us every day online at noon as we're going to be praying together until we see this thing move. We need to pray as the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and do what? Pray. Seek my face, turn from their own wicked ways. Then God would hear us and heal us. And we need God to hear us and heal our land. So I want you to join us at noon and I want you to enjoy this message.
Well, is anybody ready for the word this morning? I'm excited for what God is going to do, and I want to let you know that our church really is built for this. A little over five years ago, I became the senior leader and with my wife of Transformation Church, and God told me for some reason that my first act to budgetary-wise was to buy new cameras. And some of the people that are in this room, some of our lead team were there when we didn't have any cameras, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, buy cameras, and people left the church over it. And we spent $80,000 on new cameras, and many of the messages that you watched during the week and all through, they were filmed on cameras that we bought in faith. And it just teaches me of God's goodness when we sit at moments like this in an arena that God provided for us that can fit 5,000 people, and less than 200 people are in this room right now. But it's going to the entire world because of the faithfulness of a few. And so for every volunteer, for every person who's ever given, for everybody that usually works the parking lot but you couldn't come today, I just want to say thank you. Oh, come on. Even if you don't know them, they're helping make this happen. Let's give God praise. I love you. And I miss being able to hug your neck, but we're going to be back as soon as they tell us it's okay. But that ain't going to stop this word from coming forth today. So you can text a friend and tell them we're live right now, because we are starting week 5 of a series that we've been calling Help Me Secure the Bag. And somebody was like, Pastor Mike, you know, shouldn't you talk about something else instead of secure the bag? I believe God gave me this message for this day. Like this message, God knew. He's not surprised by anything. This is not a shock to him. And I thought about switching it up, and he said, no, I put you on assignment. Because what people don't understand is this whole thing about generosity and giving comes to really test you in a season where anxiety tries to make you selfish. Uh-huh. In a season where people are fighting over tissue. If you're fighting over tissue, what will you do over real money? And God said, see, Michael, this is all about who is people's provider. Right now, because we're out of hand sanitizer and tissue and stuff like that, people are now becoming their own providers. And he said, the reason that we are talking about stewardship and generosity at the moment a crisis hits, because this is going to prove who you trust. Oh, I'm coming for you right to your house, on your living room, in your lazy boy. Do you hear me? Who do you trust? And I want to let you know that as a church, we're going to trust God. When I look through the scriptures, every famine that happened, every economic downturn, every plague, every disease, the people of God were sustained through every season that the world went through, because they put their trust in him. And so I just want you to declare this out of your mouth. Say, my trust is in the Lord. Say it one more time, because some of y'all still trying to believe it. My trust is in the Lord. Third time's a charm. Say it with all your might. My trust is in the Lord. And you're going to have to tell yourself that every day. You're going to have to believe that even when it doesn't look like it. Because when your trust is in the Lord, you are secure. The whole reason we call this thing secure the bag is because people think they really have to secure the bag. But when you're secured by God, you trust God and He secures everything about you. And that's not just when things are good. That's even in this moment right now. Church, do you know that this is the greatest opportunity for us to rise up and be actually a difference? If you respond the same way all your unsaved friends respond, you're not worried about Corona, you drinking Corona because you worry too. Like, some of y'all been on the Corona. Like, what I'm telling you is we have to respond differently. And you only respond differently when you are absolute and resolute that your trust is in the Lord. So today the title of my message is More Contagious Than Corona. Yeah. I want to tell you and talk to you about something that's more contagious than any virus. That's more transformative than anything transmitted. Okay. I'm going to just go ahead and tell you. Do you know what's more contagious than Corona? It's extravagant generosity. When people start giving to people, it's more contagious than any disease. Do you know why? The opposite, even when this pandemic is happening, the enemy wants the opposite to happen. In this time, he wants everybody to start withholding. Don't share anything. It's opposite of the Spirit of God. He wants people to share. He wants people to give. And what's happening is the spirit of fear is coming to try to grip people. Now, let me help everybody understand this whole thing about fear, because fear is different than the spirit of fear. I'm going to teach you something. Fear is a natural emotion that we have. Right now, if somebody jumped up from behind me and I wasn't expecting, I'd be like, there would be an emotion of fear. The spirit of fear is me anticipating that at every moment somebody's behind me ready to scare me. And it starts to dominate my thoughts to where it starts affecting my actions. So right now, many of us are working in the spirit of fear because we are outplaying and playing things that'll never happen. And now it's dominating our actions and our ideas. I went into Quick Trip, the gas station, to get something to drink. And there were 70 people in the ATM line. 70 people. They literally lined from one side of Quick Trip to the other side, because the spirit of fear got them. It got them, said, you're not going to have access to no money. There's not going to be anything. So draw everything out right now, or you're going to be stuck. Like, your ATM card not going to work? Like, your credit card? But it's not about what it is. It's the spirit. And I came to bind the spirit of fear. That God has not given us that spirit, but He's given us some different spirits. Love, power, and a sound mind. And that's why with the sound mind, I'm preaching this to you flat-footed today. That what's more contagious than Corona is extravagant generosity. And in this season of scarcity, I believe God is going to challenge the church to be extravagant in giving. And I didn't mean Transformation Church, not the organization, the organism. You need to be listening to what God tells you to do. You need to be listening that when you walk into that store, are you doing those things? And God says, hey, bless them. Huh? Lord, no. I came in here for the last roll of toilet tissue, and there it is. And He said, give it to her. Right now, that's extravagant generosity. And God says, do I have your heart? And many times, He doesn't have your hand because He doesn't have your heart. And that's why I want us to go here, and I just pray. I literally pray, because the truth is the church has not gotten to this point of extreme generosity in our own lives. We do it as a church. Oh, the church gave away $300,000 during the month of generosity. But did you feel it? As we did this as an example, did you feel the tug or the urge to be able to bless somebody in your sphere of influence. And the truth is, we would rather the organization do it than the organism. And God says, that's why I can't bless you with everything I have for you. Because if I give it to you, you will become a reservoir instead of a river. And I'm looking for somebody that it can pass through, that it can go through, that I can make my name great through. But that means we have to get to another level. Somebody say, level up. Yeah, I think Prophetess Sierra had it right when she said, level up, level up, level up. We got to level up and get off of this low level of giving, this low level of helping people, this barely just enough, that'll do. You can have that. She already got a house, don't she? Her car looked better than mine. And where we're trying to judge if they deserve to be given to by us, because the truth is you'll only a lot of times give to people that are less fortunate than you. But what happens when God tells you to give to somebody that has more than you? You missed it. Because we always gonna help the poor, and we're gonna always, but you don't know what somebody's needing. And God says to somebody, hey, I need you to go do this, and be like, they dress better than me, their kids look better than my kids, and they always got Starbucks. Use somebody else. And God says, see, I couldn't trust you. I wanted to take you to the next level of extravagant generosity, but you still stuck at a low level. And so I'm coming to help everybody level up and get to this level of generosity. And anytime you're going to go to a whole nother level, I really believe you have to be exposed to a whole nother level. That's why I'm talking to you. Some of the greatest things that I know today was because I was exposed. I thank God for my mama and my daddy. Y'all saw my mama up here praying with that fire a minute ago. Y'all can see where I get my, like, gangster from. Like, she been like that since I was born. But I thank God for my mom and dad because they never made us an excuse. They have 5 boys. And what they did with all of us is they exposed us at a young age. So we would travel all over the country. And when they were talking about Mount Rushmore in school, we had seen it twice. When they were talking about Hawaii, we had been. And my parents exposed us. And I thank God for that exposure, because anytime something becomes contagious, it first has to be exposed. The only reason that something can become contagious is because somebody was exposed to something. I'm about to preach this thing. The only reason that we're not meeting all together in this venue is because we don't want to help people get exposed to the wrong thing. But in the same way, I want to help you get exposed to the right thing. And the right thing is being generous. That's why we put on the screen who we're giving to. And we're trying to, like, to start something on the inside of you that says, I don't have to do it at that level, but I can obey God at what level I'm at. And I remember the day I was exposed. There was a young lady that I was friends with when I was in, I think I was 18 or 19. And this is when my mind got blown, really, and I realized there was levels to stuff. She was like, y'all should come to my house for spring break. It was around this time. She was getting out of college. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then a few of my friends, one of my friends who went with me is in the room right now. And they was like, yo, I heard they got a really big house. And I was like, a really big house. See, because I had been exposed, I thought, to really big houses. Because my parents were very smart. They had 5 boys, and they played these games that were economically friendly and took up a lot of time. What they would do with us is they would put us in a van together and ride through wealthy neighborhoods and roll down the windows and play a game called That's My House. I later realized they were cheap and didn't want to take us to Chuck E. Cheese. And so what ended up happening is we had so much fun playing this game, because we would go into all these wealthy neighborhoods and be exposed, and we would be like, that's my house, that's my house. So by the time I was 19, 20, I thought I'd seen some really nice houses. We pulled up to this compound. No lie. The driveway was 2 to 4 miles long. Had a limousine parked out in front of the house like one of those Reader Digest pictures, covered. That means they don't drive it. Literally walked up to a 9-car garage, and every car in the garage was white. Chandeliers and wallpaper in the garage. I literally turned to my left, and they had, check this out, a master bedroom two-car garage with a Bentley and a Rolls Royce sitting there. I was overwhelmed. You know how you try to act like you've been somewhere, but you ain't never really been there? I couldn't even, I was like, overwhelmed. The master bedroom was 10,000 square feet. No, y'all didn't hear what I just said. Well, I don't know how big your whole house is. The master bedroom was two stories and 10,000 square feet. Olympic-sized swimming pool. Mama, you went with me, didn't you? You saw the whole thing. She said, glory to God. And then they were like, where are we staying at? They was like, y'all were staying out back. I said, no, we aren't. Slavery is over. I'm not staying in the outhouse. I'm going home. Mama, come on. But she said, no. When my family built this property, they decided to put in a couple of things. They put in a 500-seat ballroom on the west wing, two kitchens, a house for the cleaning service, and they built four 2,000-square-foot houses for when guests come. Y'all, I never wanted to come back. But what I realized at that moment is everything that I had seen up to that point was a low level. And my exposure to something at a higher level made me have the ability to desire more. And what I want you to hear me say is that in this series of stewardship and generosity, the goal is not that you start tithing. The goal is that you get to the level of extreme generosity, that when God looks for somebody to be a blessing to somebody, your hand is up. Oh, pick me. Let me and my family change somebody else's family. Let me and my business be able to write off somebody else's business. Let me be able to pay for it. But because I believe the church has been on such a poverty level when it comes to giving, we ain't never leveled up. So today I'm gonna try to get us to the place where you can level up and realize that there is levels to this thing. And it starts with understanding, though. And most people do not understand the word of God when it comes to the area of finances, generosity, and stewardship. And the Holy Spirit, as a pastor, can I be very clear? While I was a pastor, he told me there was a passage of scripture that I was teaching wrong and I needed to repent and teach it right. When last time you heard a pastor say that? He said, you had the wrong understanding. So today I want you to give people a fresh understanding from Malachi chapter 3. Now, it's probably one of the most famous scriptures that pastors and leaders use when they talk about tithe and offering, but they've been using it all wrong. Literally in my prayer, this is what me and God's conversation went like. He said, you need to repent. I was like, for what? He said, you've been teaching Malachi 3 wrong. I was like, okay. He said, you got me all messed up. And me and God got a real kind of like gangster relationship. So he was like, you got me all messed up. I was like, God, he was like, you have misinterpreted my heart behind the scriptures. And that's why people don't want to have nothing to do with churches, because they think I want them for their money. And he said, I don't want them for their money. And if you ever teach that again, he said, we're going to have words. He said, I don't want them words. So I want us to look at this, but I got to give you the revelation first. How many people have heard that scripture? Can a man rob God? Can a man rob God? And usually when people say this, people are trying to infer that if you don't give tithe and offering, you're robbing God of money. And when I read that, that's what I thought forever. And God said, you got me all messed up. He said, what they're doing when they don't give tithe and offering is, write this down. He said, you're robbing me of an opportunity to bless you. He said, so when you don't tithe, when you don't give offering, you're robbing me of an opportunity to bless you. So write this point down. Don't rob God of an opportunity to bless you. God don't need your money. You need to give your money, because every time you give or return the tithe, you have just now qualified yourself for an opportunity for God to bless you. And that's why with that revelation, I want to read Malachi 3 again. And I hope light bulbs start going on everywhere. That this is not about God getting anything from you. This is about God making a system that at any moment you want to obey his word, he can get something to you. So Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. He's basically saying, I want to bless you. I want to open the windows of heaven, but you're not doing it my way. But don't rob me of an opportunity to bless you. Look what it says. Will a man rob God of an opportunity to bless him? Yet you robbed me of many opportunities to bless you. But you say, God, in what way have we robbed you of an opportunity to bless us? In tithes and offering. See, the whole concept of tithing and offering is not for God's sake. It's not for the kingdom's sake. It's for our sake. Because if God wants to get something done in the earth, he can use anything to do it. Was our money around when he decided to develop the heavens and the earth? Nope. Was our money around when he decided to pick up dirt, blow breath in it, and make me and you? Nope. When Isaiah was in the middle of a desert and he had nothing to eat, he sent ravens, the first Uber Eats, to feed them. He don't need us. The children of Israel were in the middle of a wilderness and they didn't have anything to eat. He changed the molecules of rain and made it become manna so that every morning they would wake up and say, what is it? And he said, it's what you're about to eat. And they would eat manna from heaven and it sustained them 40 years in the wilderness. And when they needed water and there was no river around, he said, strike the rock. And water came from a rock. God doesn't need your resources. What he's trying to do is give all of us an opportunity to be blessed. And that's why when I read this scripture, it makes so much sense. All God wants for all of his children, like I want for my daughter, is them to do what I say, how I say to do it, so that they can receive the benefit of being my child. And all the parents say, amen. Yeah. Because if you tell your child, hey, all I want you to do is clean the dishes, and they sweep the laundry room, and they clean up the drapes, and they rake and they mow the lawn, but they don't do the dishes, all of the extra things that they did were nice, but they were still disobedient. And the crazy thing is we come to God and say, well, I go to church and I help on this team and I do this stuff and I serve at this. But he said, with the returning of the tithe and the offering for the job you didn't even qualify for and that I blessed you to be able to get up in there anyway, you won't even do it. You keep robbing me of an opportunity to bless you. And I can see God in heaven right now be like, uh-oh, it's the first. They're going to do it this time. I know they're going to do it this time. I hold it back. Back it up. Golly. They tied my hands. I was ready to bless them. But they robbed me of the opportunity to bless them the way I wanted to. You're still saved? See, that's the thing that people think this is about. Well, God still loves me. Duh, he still loves you. While you are yet a sinner, he gave his life for you. This is not about salvation. And that's why many believers live their life with their eternal salvation secured, but their life is a living hell. Saved and in bondage. So you're going to heaven, but you can never seem to get beyond this moment of poverty. You can never break the lack off of your life. And I found that it has to do with the heart of generosity. Let me tell you, about 5 years ago, the Holy Spirit really rocked my world because I tell my testimony all the time that I dealt very heavily with pornography and I dealt very heavily with lying and manipulation. That's my testimony. And a guy came up to me and was like, Mike, how did you break free from that? How did it really change in your life? And it had to do with when I honestly started giving to God. Let me help you. It's what I call the equation of treasure. Where your treasure is, your heart is. So you give your treasure, and when you give your treasure, God gets access to your heart. When God gets access to your heart, he can transform your habits. When he can transform your habits, you end up living a blessed life. How pornography lost its hold on my life? Because I thought I was just going to say a prayer. God, give me purity. God, I don't want to look no more. I don't want to do it no more. And every time I would say that, I'd do it again. And promise that would be the last time. It's when I started faithfully honoring God with my treasure. How does my treasure have to do with my attitude? How does my treasure have to do with the outcome of these desires and this frustration and the anger that I have? When you give God your treasure, you are saying you have my heart. When he has your heart, then he can rearrange your habits. When he has your habits, you live a blessed life. And most people will never get to this place because they think that changing the habit is behavior modification. And what God wants to do is transformation. And transformation only happens in the heart. That's a whole nother message for a whole nother time. But maybe that's the thing you came here to hear today. Is that your treasure, giving tithes or returning tithes and giving offering may have more to do with the life you're living than anything about money. So how can a man rob God? He can rob him of the opportunity to bless him. And verse 9 says, and because y'all won't do it my way, man, because y'all keep trying to go on these self-help schemes and make all these other plans, he's like, now you're cursed with a curse. For you've robbed me of opportunities to bless you. Even the whole nation. Can we stop there and talk about our nation? That at the moment we took God out of everything. Took him out of schools, took him out of government, took him out of everything. What we did was not a curse on the nation. What we did is we robbed God of the opportunity to bless us. And now we're in the middle of crisis and everybody's trying to go back to the one who got us here in the first place. The one that our country was formed on these biblical truths, and we go farther and farther and farther and farther away, but we still want the same blessing that was on this before. And God says, y'all got to go back to the ordinary things, the regular principles that I've put in place so that I can bless you. And now we're trillions of dollars in debt, making up money every day. And God says, y'all wouldn't even have to be doing all of this if you honor me. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That's the local church. That there may be food in my house. And try me now at this. This is my favorite part. That means prove. Let me prove it to you. Test me. This is the only place in scripture where God says, test me. I dare you to do it. Matter of fact, I double dog dare you. And I don't know what happens at the double dog dare. But when you was at school, if they double dog dare you, like, I got to do it. Like, I don't even know what's happening. But I double dog dare you to test me in this, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, why would God give you so much that you can't receive it? Because he wants you to give it away. What God is trying to get us to is the level of extravagant generosity where he can pile so much on us where it seems ignorant just to keep it for ourselves. There's no way I'm living off of last year's income. I don't need this right now. Where do I need to sow? Who do I need to bless? Who do I need to give a hand out that or a hand up that I didn't have? But the problem is we're on a low level. And God's saying, can I take you to another level? He said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Not the kingdom's sake, not the church's sake, for your sake. This further convinces me that this is why God invented giving. He says, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. That's your business, your land, your home. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit in your field. It says, verse 12, and all the nations will call you blessed. People that don't even speak your language. Oh my God, she is blessed. That's what it says. They'll stand up and say, you are blessed. For you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Why? Because you gave God an opportunity to bless you. What I'm trying to tell everybody is there's levels to this. And I just want everybody to get to the last level of extravagant giving. But you can't get to the last level without starting at the first level. So let me help you. The first level, we've been talking it. It's tithe. Let's not talk about this no more. Because you saved right here. But when you step up and return 10% of everything that God gives you to him first, you leveled up. And I'm so proud of Transformation Church because after I've talked to our team, from the beginning of this series to right now, there's been over a 90% growth in people who, oh, y'all don't hear me, who have started tithing for the first, oh, y'all gotta shout. Oh, hold on. Oh, I forgot. Y'all were shouting for the money. I was shouting because hearts have changed. You missed it. We don't know how much money they have. They could be tithing off of $2. It doesn't matter about the amount. It matters about the heart. Ah. And what I'm saying is we went to a whole nother level through this series. As a pastor in an empty arena, I'm telling you we're stronger than we've ever been because God has transformation churches and transformation nations' heart. Can we give God praise right there? So if you're not tithing, I'm telling you, get on this blessed life with us because we're going up levels. Everybody say levels. We're going up levels. But can we go to the next level? I said, can we go to the next level? See, the next level is giving offerings. And see, some of y'all are confused right now because you thought when I sent that money to the church, that was my tithe and offering, Lord. He said, no. The 10% was you returning back to me what I gave you. But then I'm going to just nudge on your heart, say, put an extra 50 on that. Give to that person over there in that organization. And yeah, you see that girl right there that's walking in Quick Trip? Yeah. I know you already pulled out. Pull back in. So $100. That was my $100 for my dress. Yeah, you won't be able to fit it anyway. The truth anyhow. Go get that. Because what people don't understand is when you return the tithe, it gets blessed. But when you step into offering, it gets multiplied. You missed it. See, multiplication is God's favorite math. He don't like addition. He likes multiplication. I can prove it to you. Go to, I believe it's Matthew, or let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 9, verse 12. Because what God says in this scripture is one of the most famous scriptures that Jesus does the feeding of the 5,000. But actually, most theologians believe there are about 20 to 25,000 people there when you count the wives and 3 to 4 kids per capita at the time. And Jesus is about to feed these people with not enough. And I want you to see how God is the God of multiplication. But multiplication happens in what we offer to God. Look at it. Luke chapter 9, we'll start at verse 12. It says, when the day began to wear away. So let me set up context. The disciples are sitting with Jesus, and Jesus starts preaching at 9 o'clock. 12 o'clock, he's still preaching. 2 o'clock, he's still preaching. 5 o'clock, he's still preaching. The disciples are hangry at this moment. Y'all know what hangry is because some of y'all looking hangry right now. They are so hungry that they're angry. And Jesus is still going, and they're like, yo, somebody got to go tell Jesus to wrap this up so we can go get something to eat. And this is what happened. It says, when the day began to wear away. Do you know what that means in Hebrew? When the day began to wear away, the 12 came to him and said, hey, Jesus, it would probably be good if you would send the multitude home so they could go to Church's Chicken and Chick-fil-A and get something to eat because we're in a desert place. We're in a place that doesn't have enough. He said, we're in these towns in the countries. You need to send them all over there for we are in a deserted place. And doesn't that feel like the place that God many times asks us to give from? A deserted place? A place of not enough? God, I'm a college student. You know I just got out of a divorce. God, you saw that I just filed for bankruptcy. God, you know that I'm paycheck to paycheck. Why would you ask me to give out of this deserted place? But he said to them, Yeah, that sounds good. You give them something to eat. Hold on, what? You want me to be a part of somebody else's miracle when I'm in a place that doesn't seem to have enough for me? So I bet, went back over to the disciples, like, hey, did y'all tell Jesus to wrap it up? He's like, yeah, told him to wrap it up. What'd he say? He said, we need to feed them. What? He said, we gotta feed them. And I get, you know, all the bros, I was like, ah. Like, what? We don't even have nothing to feed them with. And in my mind, I see a movie. I see Peter being like, if y'all ain't gonna eat, I'ma eat. And he sees a little boy with a Long John Silver snack pack, 2 fish and 5 hush puppies. And he comes over here, I'm a disciple, give me your lunch. And he takes his lunch and he takes a bite of a hush puppy. And he was like, if y'all ain't gonna do this, I'ma eat. Oh, that's what it is. Tell Jesus, this is all we have. Doesn't that sound like what we tell God too? This is all we got. Yeah, I think, okay, once we show Jesus this is all we got, he's definitely going to dismiss everybody and tell them to go on to the house. And look what it says. I love the Bible. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless you want us to go and buy all the people some food. See, they were at a low level. God could have asked them to go buy the people some food, but they said it sarcastically. They didn't want to actually meet the people's needs. They wanted the people to go away so their needs could get met. What would happen if the church stopped worrying about our needs getting met and we were able to be ones to meet other people's needs? That's why we have to get to the level of extreme generosity, because if we don't, we're only worried about ourselves. And so he said, unless you want us to go buy all these people food, this is all we got. Look what Jesus said. He's so gangster. For there were about only 5,000 men and 20,000 people. He said, yeah, okay. And I think Jesus was thinking at this moment. And the guy in his mind, the disciple that's talking to Jesus, was probably like, that just makes sense. We don't have enough. There's tons of people. He's going to dismiss it. It just makes sense. But the thing you have to understand is tithing and giving offering doesn't make sense. It makes miracles. What God was trying to do was make a miracle while the disciples were trying to make sense. You could even take it further, dollars and cents. We're always trying to make dollars and cents. And God's trying to create a miracle. Somebody say miracle. Yeah. And so then he says to his disciples, that's enough. What you have is enough. I came to tell you, with you working at that job at minimum wage, it's enough. With you on government's assistance, somebody help me say, it's enough. With all the bills that you have and all the mistakes you made and the grace that God has carried you through all of that stuff, he says, it's still enough. And then he tells them to do something that most of us won't have the audacity to do. He says, yeah, tell the people to sit down in groups of 50. He said, I want you to organize what doesn't seem like enough. Some of y'all right now, God is asking you not to figure out how it's all going to work out. He's like, get the bills in order. He was like, know how much you actually owe. Do you know when you get out of your car payment? Do you know how much you have to pay to be out of your school loan? Do you know what your kid needs? Do you know what you need to fix your credit when your parents used your name when you were young to get ahead and they jacked it up? Do you know? Get in order what doesn't seem to be enough. And he says, make them sit down in group of 50. And then a miracle's about to happen. And up until a couple years ago, I thought the miracle happened in Jesus' hand. Like, you remember, like, where it's like, then he took the 2 fish and the 5 loaves, and he blessed it, and he broke it. I saw something I've never seen before. Look at it. Oh, I love the Bible, verse 16. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven. He blessed it. How does our finances get blessed? When we tithe. He blessed it, then he broke it, and then he gave them a portion back, not the whole thing. He kept the tithe, and he gave them 90% back, and he told them to go now
give it away. He said, give me what you got, and I'm going to bless it when you tithe. I'm going to give you back 90% with my blessing on it. And now I'm going to challenge you to level up. Everybody say level up. Woo! In the midst of a crisis, in the midst of a downturn, in the midst of everybody scared, he said level up. This is when the Church of Jesus Christ stands up. This is when we become the ones that change everything. He said, now I want you to give it away. Go give an offering. And I bet the disciples was mad because they was hungry. And I can imagine that they were tempted to eat what they were supposed to give away. They were tempted to not be generous, but to eat for themselves. But God said if they would have ate it, it would have never multiplied. I'm just trying to walk you through the scriptures. And so what happens is he tells them, go give it to the people. And I can see him going over there, scared. Take just a little. Take just a little. Take just a little with your greedy tail. And right when, just imagine it, because that's how we do. Family member needs some help. You better pay me back tomorrow. Oh, come on. You still mad at people that owe you $10 from high school. Take just a little. But God said, when you get to the level of giving it away, I could see the disciple at the very last minute when there's nothing but a crumb left. He says, go ahead, take just a little. And in his hand, it multiplies. Did y'all see how I looked at the account yesterday, and there was nothing in it, but I got a refund from something that I forgot I even did. The thing I thought I was going to have to pay for, it wasn't even actually broken. It was just a cord that needed to be switched around, and they did it for free. And they walk over, and they're like, take some. Take some. Attitudes start to change when you know you aren't the supplier. The way that you give changes when you know you don't have to provide for it. And he probably like, hey, take some. And then they start getting into it. Bread. Bread on tap. Anybody want some briggity bread? Like, do you understand what I'm saying? People start. Because the same God that multiplied it when it was just a little bit. Is the same God that's going to do it if you give it away. And that's why I want you to understand, that's why we got to tithe. Because if we tithe, it gives us access to give offerings. When we give offering, it multiplies and it gives us enough resource to go to the last level. And when we go to the last level, I love the last level. And I hate the last level. Because the last level is sacrificial offerings. I thought you said it was extravagant generosity. It is. Because you go to tithe, offering, then sacrificial offerings. These are the offerings that hurt. These are the offerings that you fast after you give. These are those times of generosity where your body starts telling you, you're making a wrong decision, but you know in your heart that God told you this is what you were supposed to do. What I want you to understand is it's extravagant generosity for the one who's receiving it, but it's a sacrificial offering for the one who's giving it. And what God is saying is, I want every one of my children to live here. Let's stop talking about this low-level stuff. Oh, he just wants the tithe. He just wants the offering. No, baby. These are prerequisites.
You don't play Mario Brothers and get to level 7 without going level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And God's saying, if my people who will call by my name will humble themselves and pray, because they just want healing in an area of their body, but they need healing in the area of their mind, so they can understand that when you do it my way and you start to be generous, then I get to use you as a blessing to the whole world. What would happen right now if the church stood up together and gave $5 billion towards the cure of COVID-19. Y'all can't even clap for it, because it's so higher than where we're trying to convince people. Do you know that out of the entire world, 7% of people who call themselves Christians tithe? 7. So if 7% of every person, every denomination that call themselves Christians tithe, do you know how small the number is of people that live here? And I just wanted to come and tell Transformation Church and Transformation Nation, this is where we're going to camp out. Y'all didn't hear me. Nobody has the faith to believe me, but we will be a church that lives at the place of sacrificial offerings and extravagant gifts. I want to tell you that I'm not asking you to do that. I'm leading you in it. I'm going to be real, real. Is it okay if I get real, real right now? This, at the end of the year, we had this thing called the Crazy Faith Offering. And many of us participated in it. And because of everybody's generosity, we were able to pay off this building. We paid off this building. Yeah, you can give God praise right now. For everybody who hadn't been here, this building was built for $54 million. We got it for $10.5 million, and we paid it off in 7 months. Glory to God. But why would God allow us to do that if we weren't going to live at this? So some of y'all bills is because that's where you have faith to live. Some of your deficit, God's saying, could I get you exposed to a different level? So God talked to me. He said, Michael, this is going to be the most sacrificial offering you've ever given in your life. And I was like, Lord, I really would like you to prepare me for what you're about to do. He said, I'll tell you. So I'm praying, I'm seeking God, and God tells me a number, and he says, go tell your wife. And I knew by the response of my wife that it was God, because she freaked out. Because a sacrificial offering is not something you give and it feels comfortable. Oh, see, I forgot. Y'all don't know what sacrifice is. See, like that extravagant thing, it's like when David gave the equivalent of $21 billion to a temple that he would never see built. His son Solomon, who was going to build the temple, when it was customary for the king to sacrifice one bull, he gave an extravagant offering or a sacrificial offering. And where the requirement was one, he sacrificed 1,000. There was a woman in the Bible who gave a whole year's wages of oil and she poured it on Jesus' feet, and the disciples were like, y'all should use that for the poor. And he said, y'all better shut up, because this is the only anointing I'm gonna get before I go to the cross. And the greatest sacrificial gift that was ever given was Jesus, and he was given for us on a maybe. See, the thing that God wants you to understand is it may hurt a little bit, but it's gonna produce the most transformation. So I'm sitting here, I tell my wife what I believe that God told us to give in this year's offering. She said, Michael, that's the devil. And I said, it can't be the devil, because the devil has never told anybody to give anything. He only tells people to take. And so me and my wife, for 6-7 days, it was tension, because I felt like we were supposed to give this amount. But there's got to be agreement. There's got to be unity there, because this ain't just my money, it's our money. And she was like, we'd be walking around the kitchen. She'd be like, are you sure he said? Okay. No, he couldn't have said. Because we're looking at everything that we got going on. Holy Spirit said, trust me. So I said, okay, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to give you the sacrificial gift. The third day I go to prayer, he said, oh, and by the way, I want you to give that person y'all been trying to help, I want you to buy them a car too. Now, God, you already know I'm struggling with Natalie. You already know we're about to give this amount we're trying to do. And then you want us to give a car. He said, do you remember what I've done for you in the past? And I went down memory lane just that fast, because in 2018, God allowed me, some of y'all were there, to give away my Land Rover. And I gave away my Land Rover, and I went without a car for 7 months. And then God said, hey, I'm going to bless you with a car. Somebody gave me a new Mercedes, and I got the Mercedes. And the day they handed me the keys with no payment, God said, you're going to give that one away too. And because what's more contagious than Corona is generosity, another person saw that they were giving their car away, and they gave their car away to somebody in that same service. And then I gave the Mercedes away last year. And God says, I've given you vehicles to give away. Now I'm asking you to give away another one, and you want to stop me from having the opportunity to bless you? Okay. I said, no. Let me go talk to Natalie. Well, matter of fact, God, could you talk to Natalie? Because I've been having some trouble in this area. And I'm telling you, the day before the offering, my wife came up to me and she said, Michael, I don't know how this is all going to work out, but I trust you. You've led this household strong. And I believe if that's what you're telling me God told you to give, we're going to give it. I said, let's go. Now, the reason I'm telling you this story is because of what happened next. We're in the moment of generosity. The bucket is right down here. I've only told two people this story. And I wrote that check out with tears in my eyes. I wasn't crying because I was happy about giving. I was crying because I was sad. But you don't have to feel it to obey. Oh, let me help you. You don't have to feel it to obey what God said. I walked off this stage and my security guy said, there's a guy here that wants to just have you pray over his offering. I was like, okay, let me go give my offering. I walked down with Bella and my wife. And I said, Father, I'm trusting you with everything, because this is the most sacrificial offering we've ever given. And we dropped it in the bucket, and it's like I felt power leave me. You know how in one of them Space Jam movies, like you lose all your powers. I felt it. I'm just being real. But the thing God told me, he said, you just matured, Michael. You went from a low level of just being happy to tithe, moving to offering. And now you're at the level where anytime I ask you, anytime I just put it on your heart, you'll give a sacrificial offering. I turned around, I kissed my wife, and this is what I call the 60-second miracle. It wasn't 1 minute later. I said one. I turned around to come back on the stage. Cordell and Scott were with me. And I stand to pray for this guy. And I was like, what are you believing God for? He was like, I'm just believing that this will be my tithe on my business every month. And I said, let's pray. And I said, God, bless this man in Jesus' name. I was like, let's go give it together. He said, no. This is for you. I said, what do you mean? He said, I flew here from the East Coast, because 3 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit told me I was supposed to give in the Crazy Faith offering, but then I was supposed to give above that and give this specifically to you. I said, oh man, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. And hugged him and went to the back. Came up here, finished the service, got in my car to go home. And the Holy Spirit said, open that envelope. Not only was it the amount that I gave, but 30% more than what I gave 1 minute after I gave it. Now, you don't have to rejoice with me, but what it told me is God was not concerned about the money. He was concerned about the obedience. He didn't let me go without it for 60 seconds. And I'm believing for some of you, you thought you were letting it go for a long time. God said, I'm not trying to get it from you. I'm trying to get it to you. But if I would have not obeyed God, I would have stopped God from the opportunity to bless me. Why are you sharing that, Mike? Because somebody needs to hear me say this. As we're in a time where everybody's trying to preserve for themselves, and hoard for themselves. The church of Jesus Christ is supposed to walk in extreme generosity, extravagant giving, sacrificial offerings. I wish the story had stopped there, but it didn't. Y'all remember he told me to give a car away? So I called the person that I could get the car from, and I said, hey, I'm trying to get this single mother a car. Could you help me find one? He said, you know what? Me and my wife just finished talking about, we need to give away a car from our car dealership. He said, I got a car. We're going to give it. Don't even worry about it. I said, hold on. Wait a minute. Somehow we lose connection. He calls me back and he was like, hey, my daughter overheard us talking right now because I had it on speakerphone. I was going to give you this type of car, but she's got a brand new leather interior, dot, dot, dot. And the Holy Spirit had been talking to her about giving her car away. And she wants to give that single mother her actual car. I said, what are you saying to me? He said, at 6 o'clock tonight, come pick it up because it's yours. And walked up and gave us a 2013 brand new low miles, everything fixed on it. And I was able to present it to a single mother. Why? I don't want you to miss this. Because God didn't even want to use my money. He just wanted to use my obedience. At the moment I decided in my heart that I was going to give that sacrificial offering, he already had everything lined up for it wouldn't take a cent out of my account. But I was able to give it to him. What are you saying, Pastor Mike? If God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. And we've been playing at a low level, church. We got a tithe. This is the end of this series. We got a tithe. Because if we tithe, we go to the next level of giving offerings and obeying God when he says, give the 50, give the 100, give the 1,000, give the 2,000. Hey, don't worry, because some of y'all are about to tune off. We're not taking an offering today. This message is not meant to condemn anybody. But if you feel conviction, the Bible says conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. We're not going to ask anybody to do anything. But if you feel God saying something to you, that's between you and God. But where I want every person look at me, where I want you to live, where I want you to get to, where I want you to make steps. And some of you are over here and you say, Pastor Mike, I don't know how I'm going to get there. All I'm asking you to do is make the next step. If you've never tithed before, start. If you've never given offering before, start. If you've never done a sacrificial offering before, start. Because when we get here, the world's going to stand up and call us blessed. Can you do something for me right now? Everybody that's watching online, will you stand up? Everybody, just stand up. Come on, just stand up wherever you are. If you can, I want you to stand up. Because I want you to see what God is doing. He's trying to allow this to be contagious. He wants generosity in this moment to be more contagious than Corona. Who can you bless this week? Who can you buy toilet tissue for? Who can you pay for a bill? Who can you do something? Don't buy the shoes. Pay somebody's gas bill. What can you do this month, this week, today to be generous and come to a place where God says, now I can get them so much more? I was able to give that young lady a car because I made it up in my heart. Sacrificial generosity. You get it to me, God, you can get it through me. And then it became a thing of our church. On that last Sunday, we gave $1.2 million away. People started being blessed by that. But y'all know, because generosity is more contagious than Corona, it just started happening everywhere. Stuff we couldn't report to you. At the beginning of this series, I called a young lady up here that said she only had $25 to her name. And I used her for an example, and she got $500. Do you know by the time she walked out the door, she sent me a text message, said Transformation Church had given her $3,000? Because generosity is more contagious than anything. The lady last week that her van for her special needs son had been broken, and it was on the news, and we saw that, and we gave her $10,000. What they did is when she got to the car dealership, they gave her all the work for wholesale price so she could keep some of the money. And then when it was the tag title and the person who was doing it pulled out their personal checkbook and wrote the money for the... Y'all don't hear me. Because giving is more contagious. Today, as we stand at the precipice of church being done a completely different way. And there are churches right now who have maybe older congregations or maybe didn't have the finances to do the technology, that they're struggling right now. We want to be a church that gives a sacrificial offering to help some churches make it through this moment. So this week I heard about two, and so we're going to do something about it. As an organization, there's a church in Tennessee, Venue Church, who today, right now, is their first time streaming. The pastor called me earlier this week and said, I don't know what to do. We're going to try to get the stuff together. And they were able to make it happen because their city told them they couldn't meet with people over 250 people and all that other stuff. So Venue Church, on behalf of Transformation Nation and everybody that's watching right now, there's a check for $50,000 that we're sending to you. Oh, yeah, because we're going to live as sacrificial. We're going to help you make this happen. In this moment, we're going to make sure the gospel gets expanded. Why does this mean that much to me? Because 5 years ago, when we took out $80,000 to buy cameras, it's the faith of a few that allowed us to be here today. And I know what it's like. My brother on the north side of Tulsa, Pastor Sean Jerry, New Jerusalem Baptist Church, he texted me earlier this week. I got the text message in my phone. He said, do you know anybody who can help us get our streaming up? Many of his members are elderly. It's better for them to not be at a gathering together, but they don't have any technology. He said, I just bought a camera, but I don't know. And my heart began to break. He said, Michael, I've blessed Transformation Church to be a blessing. He said, what you believed 4 or 5 years ago, you can give to somebody today without sweating it. So New Jerusalem, there's a $100,000 check being delivered to you. So the gospel of Jesus Christ can, oh, y'all better shout with me. In the moment where people back up, in the moment where they don't want to tithe or give offering, we are gonna be a generous church, a sacrificial church, a church that will live at extravagant giving. Hands up all over the place. I want to pray for you. I declare and I believe that we have broken the back of poverty over our mindsets. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that every person will move from just believing that you're good to trusting you, Father God, in their heart and tithing. And they'll move from that level, boop, boop, and they'll level up to being able to give offering. And they'll go from giving offering, Father God, to being able to live at a place of sacrificial offering. Father, today, what's more contagious than Corona is extravagant generosity. And I pray it over every person that is watching right now, live or on rebroadcast. Break every chain is my prayer, Father, of poverty, every chain of greed, every chain of shame, every chain, Father, of poor stewardship. As we end this series, we don't have to secure the bag because you are securing us, Father. We trust you, we believe you, we thank you, and because we are blessed to be a blessing today for what you're about to do, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. Will you give God the biggest shout you have right now? Will you give him glory? After a message like this, now God's going to start speaking to you. It may not be a car. It may not be a camera. It may be a Chick-fil-A gift card. It may be the book that you wanted, the hat you wanted. It may be an amount of money. But when you obey God, you give him the opportunity to bless you. And I want us all to live a blessed life, amen? And some of you are watching right now, you'd be like, man, forget all that money stuff. My life is jacked up. Hear what I'm saying to you. It's all about the heart. These principles in here really let me know that Jesus is real. And if you're watching right now and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. It's the thing that took me from addicted to pornography, a manipulator, a liar. And if right now, if you've already accepted Jesus, you need to be praying. People's lives are on the line right now. I feel this thing so strong. It's the thing that took me from a bad person. It didn't make me perfect, but it now makes me progress. And because of my relationship with Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. I'm not who I'm gonna be, but man, I'm so much further. And today God wants to offer that to you. And he'll help you take these steps. He'll get your heart and he'll change your habits. Today I wanna pray for you. If you're under the sound of my voice, we're gonna say a prayer. And everybody watching online, everybody that's in the building, everybody that's gonna watch on rebroadcast, we're gonna say this together because we're a family at Transformation Church. Nobody prays alone. But only you and God know if you really mean this. So let's pray together. Everybody say, God, thank you for sending Jesus as the greatest sacrifice just for me. Today, I'm giving you my life. Transform me. Save me. Change me. I believe you lived and you died just for me. Today, I surrender my life. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer on the count of three, I want you to boldly, no matter if your friends or family around, no matter if you're by yourself, no matter what, I want you to shoot your hand up in the air and we're gonna start celebrating. Listen, the Bible tells us that if one person gets saved, the entire heavens start rejoicing. And there's people, hundreds of thousands all over the world that's about to rejoice with you. One, you just made the greatest decision of your life. Two, God is so proud of you, and so are we. Three, lift your hands in the air right now. Let's give God praise. Your life has just begun to change, and everything is being made new. Glory to God. Thank you so much for watching Transformation Church's YouTube. And I just want you to take another step. If this is feeding you, join Transformation Nation. That's everybody that doesn't live here in Tulsa watching live with us on Sunday mornings. Gather your family. Let's make this thing an every week situation. And please share. Share if it has impacted your life. There is somebody that is waiting for you to share this with them. And transformation is only a click away. And there's one more thing I would ask you to do. Pray about giving. If you want to help us take this message all around the world and represent God to lost and found people for one reason, transformation in Christ, you can do that right now by clicking the give button. I cannot wait to see you the next time we're here. Live a transformed life.